Everyone, it's time again for the Living Letter Ministries radio broadcast. Like always, God is good and he is mightily, mightily, mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. The plan of the Lord is thriving. The plan of the Lord is not broken. The plan of the Lord is thriving, and everybody who gets in on it will live a greater life. It's already been prophesied what would happen. Don't be so surprised when the things of God unfold, when books of revelation happen. God is with us. He's still saving people. These are the last days of grace. And when the earth lease runs out, the Lord will do what he has to do on the earth. The Lord loves his people, and everybody's invited to the kingdom of God through Jesus Christ. But many people refuse to go, and Satan tempts people not to go. Did you know that there is a war for your soul and your decision going on? The enemy doesn't want you to know what Jesus Christ can do in your life. He has to stop the progress of God so that you don't get saved. He doesn't want you saved. He doesn't want you healed. He doesn't want you delivered out of this earth, out of the world system. And the world system has a grip on those that are captured by it. It takes somebody with a bold anointing to break that yoke so that you can hear and understand and receive the word of God. There is satanic and demonic interference in people hearing the word of God. And every time people minister the word of God in truth, the enemy does his best to give them an opposite opinion. It doesn't matter what it is. But check this out. All the opinions stem from the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And when people are not willing to let go one of those three things, the enemy has something to work with. When the good preachers say repent, they're saying turn your back on the world system. Turn your back on the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Those things will carry you in the darkness. But God says live by faith and be bold in faith. Be courageous in faith. Look to him and trust him. And we ended the last broadcast. Now, this every broadcast is longer than what the radio plays. The radio segment is 15 minutes, but each broadcast is almost 30 minutes long. You have to go to newlivingletters.com. Newlivingletters.com. And this broadcast is on the air. It's already on the website. You can go there and punch in the date that it plays, and it will and you can listen to this broadcast. Now, the last one, I was making a point that sin grows just like the egg and the sperm of a woman when a baby. When the sperm from the male and the egg from the woman come together, they're microscopic and they grow. And the person develops in every stage of life. We grow from being microscopic, and we become 200-pound men, 250-pound men, 125-pound women. We become greater than what we started out. And I didn't get to finish the point last time. You can hear it on the website, newlivingletters.com. But the point I was referring to is, just like we were microscopic and we become great men and women of God, so it is with the sin nature. It starts out small and it develops into something else. One day Hitler was an innocent child and he became a madman. All right, if the Lord allowed one person to enter heaven and they develop into something like that, it will destroy. It will cause great destruction. There was once upon a time there was no sin. And Lucifer decided to yield to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And when he got in pride, he became Satan. A third of the angels followed him. And the Lord is Jesus Christ destroyed sin. He destroyed it. And there's going to be a flat out end to it. The day is coming, you'll look for an evil man and won't be able to find one. Because the meek will inherit the earth. The meek will inherit the earth. And all the people that's on the planet will be God's people. Heaven will be clean. The earth will be clean. And hell will be full of the sinners and demonic angels and everything that's unlike God. Don't go there. Go to heaven. Now, we're still dealing with the end times. And this this chapter of end times, the Lord wants me to go to a new chapter. It's called the day after the rapture. Preacher, what is the rapture? Well, let me tell you. The Lord has to judge the earth, and it's time for him to judge the earth. But the judgment is called the tribulation. That's when he's going to judge mankind for rejecting Jesus Christ. But he's not going to do that until he take his people off the earth. That's why one scripture says that the dead in Christ will rise first. All right, everybody who died in the Lord, they're going to come out of that grave whole. God is going to give them a new body. And you can read about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. They're going to get a new body. And they'll meet and they'll meet Jesus Christ in the air. And all the Christians that are living will meet them together in the air, together to meet Jesus Christ. And when this happens, there's going to be a frenzy on the ground. People are going to know where their loved ones went, where their little children went. The Lord is going to take what is his, what is truthfully his, and everything that turned away from him is going to be here. Everybody that didn't get saved, they didn't. Some of them didn't even know to get saved yet, because Christians don't always do their job. That's why he's going to send 144,000 Jews to send evangelists where the Christians didn't go. And they're going to go all over the earth. And then they're going to get raptured. And see, all this is written. It's prophecy. It's going to happen. It's not for speculation. And many people say, well, the word rapture is not in the Bible. That's a true fact. It's not. But the catching away forcefully is the Christian people being caught, the dead in Christ will rise first. That's in the scriptures. What they are describing is the rapture. The rapture is just a name for the event. They're going to be called away to meet the Lord together in the air. In 1 John, in 1 John, it said, in I think it's chapter 2, it said, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. We will see him in his glory. And wherever we didn't grow, we will be grown then. We will be matured in the Lord. And we're supposed to be mature in the Lord now. And we're supposed to grow as much as we can. But whatever we don't cover here, when we see Jesus as he is in his glory, uncloaked, we will be like him. See, the scriptures must be fulfilled, and it's going to be fulfilled that way. Opinions don't count. All the opinions of men, they don't count. You can count them out. The word of God counts. And if you want to learn from the Lord, you got to study as a student. You got to trust him on this. This kind of wisdom is much greater than what a man can concoct. If you're an educator and you believe facts, and you believe in being mature, and you believe in doing what's right, but you don't believe in things that's far-fetched. If you study the Word of God, and you humble yourself and trust the Lord is going to do some things you just can't imagine, and they're very far-fetched. You're just going to have to get over all that. The demons that try to corral you into a certain mindset, is opposition to what God is going to do. And remember, God's wisdom is great, and he thinks of everything. He thinks of all things. When he makes a judgment, he selects the best choice. What he revealed to John in Revelation was the best option. And even now, his grace will end. This is the age of grace. The tribulation is a day of judgment. But his mercy endures forever. The grace is going to stop. And then you're going to know God as a warrior, because he's going to come back to fight. He's not coming back to save. He's coming back to take what's his. And anything that gets in the way gets destroyed. But even the judgments, even the destruction is designed to cause men to repent. But they're so hard-hearted and stiff-necked, they won't repent. And you have to break their neck. He's coming back to fight. And this earth is going to go up in flames. After the rapture, all these things in Revelation begin. All the Christians are going to be gone. Young children, gone. You go to elementary school, there won't be any first, second, third graders. The kindergartners will be gone. All babies gone. The only babies that will be on the planet are the ones that's born after. And it's going to be a frenzy. People are going to not know what to do. And everybody's going to have an opinion about what happened. You look up in the sky, it's going to be so bright, but that kind of light won't hurt your eyes because it's the glory of God. The Lord gave me I asked the Lord, what would the rapture be like? Now, this was back in 1983. It may have been as late as 84. It may have been 84 when I saw this vision. I was still working at the grocery store, sacking groceries on a Saturday. And I said, Lord, what will the rapture be like? And I saw a vision. And he used the setting I was in. There was a lady in a red dress pushing a cart. And about 30 people in the store, just like it was that day. And I heard the trumpet sound, and I saw her disappear, red dress and all. And in my peripheral vision, out of 30 people, about 5 people disappeared as well. And I looked around, they were not there, and everybody else was. My brother-in-law had another dream about the rapture. When his daughter was young, was a baby, he dreamt that she was gone, and the house was locked from the inside, no windows broken. And he looked out the window and looked up, and he saw the sky, and it was bright, but the light didn't hurt his eyes. And there were people outside looking up to see what was happening. This is the rapture. This is what it will be like. Now, my dream, I saw people disappear. He saw his young daughter gone. The Lord is going to leave behind what's not his and take what is. And little children are in the kingdom of God. So it's important for you to believe him. You can believe the scientists, you can believe theologians, you can believe false prophets, you can believe your own opinions, you can believe the UFO people, but why not just trust the one who made everything, who knows what he's doing, and enter into his plan and reject the plan, the southern plans. Go with the northern plan, the plan of heaven. Leave the southern plan of earth alone. When you listen to people, they don't have this kind of information. Unless they've been studying God's word and living his presence, they don't know. I'm representing the Lord because he put on my heart to talk about the day after the rapture because these things are at hand. He don't want you to be here to be destroyed. He don't want to destroy you. You're worth too much. Yeah, but preacher, I did all kind of stuff. You're still worth a lot to him. And you're wrong. You can destroy. Sin. He did enough to destroy the sin out of your life. You got to let it go. Now, he brought the fight down to your level. Jesus Christ brought the fight down to your level. Without him, you were outgunned. You were outclassed. Man is no match for sin. But sin is no match for God. Sin is no match for Jesus Christ to you, because he paid the price for you. He brought the fight down to your level. Even Satan can't. He's subject to you. And for Christians, he can't tempt you above your ability. And only the Lord knows that. So whatever temptation come your way, the fight is in your court and you can handle it. You can take care of this. Yeah, but Satan was an angel. He's thousands of years old. I know he is. He's very knowledgeable. But he's also defeated. He cannot tempt you above your ability to stand. If he tempts you at all, it's a fight that you can win. Yeah, but it's a great fight, preacher. Yeah, I know it is. But no matter what he does, it's enough for you to handle. You're going to have to read the scriptures and do what they say. If you're very weak, God will make a way of escape so you can win. I know, I've been there. And the Lord keeps his word. Now, people don't always capture what the Lord is saying. Everything that the Lord reveals, some people look at it and say, well, you know, today we do it this way, we don't do it that way, and they ignore what he's saying, and they change it, and they try to avoid it. That is not biblical. That is why there's so many weak Christians. That's why there's so many dead Christians that should be alive and thriving. That's why they're weak. That's why they're dead. That's why they're sick. And people think when they see Christians being defeated, they think, well, that's normal. It's not normal. They are not normal. What Jesus Christ did when he was a man on the earth is our normal. He went about doing good. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He took time and listened to the Lord. He went in every time he got through with his camp meetings and all of the meetings that he held, he would go alone privately with the Lord and talk to him and commune with him. Modern preachers don't have to do that. I know, I've been going to church since 1983, and they just don't do that. Very few Christians, pastors, will take time and go into church and pray for hours and seek the Lord and have a relationship with him. The ones that I know that actually do that, I could probably count them on one hand. And I know many pastors. I love them, but they just don't. And when they do say they got to go pray, sometimes they sound like, well, I guess I'm going to pray, as if they're going to stack bricks. But I love God. If you go in his presence, he will talk to you. He will guide you. And you got to be willing to trust him on everything. I said, Lord, anything that's in me that's just not right, I want to change it. Now, I want it gone. If everything that's not of God, I want it gone. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, teach me how to hate temptation. I don't want to wrestle with stuff for the rest of my life. I don't want to struggle with nothing. I don't want to wrestle with nothing. I want it gone for good. And I don't want it to bother me. Now, how do I do it? That's how I used to pray. And I prayed till I understood. He taught me, he gave me scriptural references. Sometimes he'd show me things in life. Most of the time it was the scriptural reference. As I obeyed, I learned. And as I learned, he would use that still small voice to commune with me and talk to me about what was happening and how to defeat the temptation that used to be so big. Used to look like a mountain. Now it looks like an ant bed. And I just pour chemicals on. I speak the word of God in faith. And I laugh at the things that Satan used to do. Sometimes people say, how do you do that? How come she don't tempt you like that? Or why don't you, how come that don't bother you? How come you don't get angry? Sometimes people get angry for me when people say things that they shouldn't. And it doesn't, I swear, it don't bother me. Because of the work of God. God is the one who gets the glory, not Thurston. I can always remember when it was a big deal. But the way we grow and mature in the Lord determines everything. And it gives people hope. Now, only those who operate by faith, they're the only people who inspire people. People are only inspired by people of faith. The people that do great things, they can't ever see the end result, but they endeavor and they work until they get it right. Thomas Edison tried so many times to make a light bulb, but he would not give up. He believed he could do it. And then he did it. The same thing with electricity. Tesla found a way to make electricity available and affordable. There are so many great... George Washington Carver had a relationship with the Lord, and the Lord taught him about peanuts, and he had so many things that he found out you can do with a peanut. It's all about going in the Lord's presence and listening to Him. The Holy Spirit is there to guide you into all truth. When I was a kid coming up, they used to sell encyclopedias. Well, they don't sell, you don't see encyclopedia salesmen anymore, because now we got the internet. Now, if you had somebody that could tell you the truth about every subject that there ever could be, wouldn't you want to talk to him? I do, because why should you let Satan keep you from communing with the Holy Spirit? And the only reason people don't try is because they don't do it. If you start listening to what he say, you're going to want more. I'm going to tell you one stumbling block. People go in his presence and they see themselves for who they are. And then they want to get out of his presence, like Peter did. Lord, get away from me. I'm a sinful man. And they tried and they run. But what if you just kept going in his presence and learning? And learning how to get the crud out of your life. Every evil desire, you want it gone. And the Lord will teach you things, principles, and you adjust to him. After a while, and you build yourself up in the Word of God, you go in his presence in faith. And you'll be glad to be in his presence. You won't want to run no more. Now, once you get past that stage, he can start talking to you. And as you get mature, he'll show you things you need to know. It's a step-by-step process. The faster you start, the more you can enjoy it. I enjoy praying. All day long, I listen to the Word. And I pray. When I work by myself, I love it because I can hear him. People are not asking me questions about what we're doing. And if I can work undistracted, I just pray and listen to the Lord. Because it's fun. And I want to be a blessing to people. And he showed me what to teach, when to teach it. God is very, very, very strategic. I know him as being strategic, a strategist. And as I obey him, guess what? I'm included in his strategic plan to help others. And the people who hear and receive, they do the same thing. Did you know that when you listen to an anointed man, that anointing gets on your life? And it becomes easy for you to do like him. That's the way it works. People that go to churches where they preach faith, they become people of faith. People that go to churches where they teach healing, they become restored and healed. People that go to churches where the pastor's free and he teach freedom, and he preaching in faith, they begin to be free. It's the same thing with authorities, the same thing with salvation. And negatively, the same thing with compromise. If you stay at a compromising church, you're gonna die. Because guess what? In every case that was, Satan always wins the compromise. If you look at every biblical account, when people are compromised with Satan, they lost, he won. God had to do things in strategic ways to get things back to order. It's very important. When God made Samson a Nazarite, he had to use one man to bring balance back to the covenant. At that point, that was Israel's lowest point, because there was no fight in them. In fact, the men of Israel, they captured Samson and took him back to the Philistines. They didn't have no fight. They didn't even have enough courage to say, if you want him, you go get him. They went and got him because they were afraid of him. And Samson is the one that killed. One man killed about 5,000 men in the course of his life. God loves us, and the plan of God is good. The enemy is vicious. Before Christ, there was a lot of bloodshed because Satan was always trying to destroy Israel while before it happened. He didn't really know who the son of man was. I mean, who the seed of woman was. At first he thought it was righteous men, and he tried to kill them. He thought it was David. And the King Saul tried to kill David because of Satan. Anybody that agree with Satan on anything, Satan can manipulate them into doing what he wants done. And the only way to stop that is to love God and submit your whole life to God and stop holding back. You're going to have to be courageous in this life. Now, we're going to continue with what the days after the rapture in the next broadcast, if we're still here. And I want to do all that's in God's heart. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to teach those that want to know him. Until next time, remember, I love you. God loves you. And Jesus Christ is our Lord.